Blog Talk Radio.
It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. It's been too hard living, but I'm afraid to die. I don't know what's up there beyond the sky. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes it will. I go to the movie and I go downtown. Somebody keep telling me don't hang around. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes it will. Then I go to my brother. Say, brother, help me please. But he winds up knocking me back down on my knees. Lord, there have been times that I thought I could last for long. But I know a change gon' come. Oh, yes it will.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to another Friday night segment of Let's Talk Fort Worth. I'm Carrie Hines, your host. A reminder, we do not own the rights to the music you just heard. Also, please click tag and share. Tell someone Let's Talk Fort Worth is on the air, and we're about to talk about hot topics around Fort Worth. You heard me right, hot topics around Fort Worth. Tonight, we're going to catch up on stories we weren't able to get to, but they are definitely necessary to mention. We're going to talk about Judge Glenn Whitney. Recently made a statement in the media which some question if it was right to say or not. He's the current Tarrant County judge, and he said that he will not support either candidate running to take his seat. We're going to talk about that tonight. We're also going to talk about what's going on in Fort Worth ISD. Some people are saying racism is going on with black and brown children in Fort Worth, and Adrian's going to catch us up on that story. We're also going to talk about the Democratic Party. They're holding a closed meeting on April 2nd, 2022, to talk to those that were involved with the election, candidates, poll workers, judges. They want to know what went right, what went wrong, and they're giving the workers the opportunity to be candid about how they felt things went down. We're going to talk about that tonight and just what we think that meeting is going to be all about. We're going to talk about Chris Nettles and Fort Worth PD POA's president. And also County Commissioner Precinct 4 candidate Manny Ramirez and their recent heated exchange about a recent city council vote. Was there some bullying going on? We're going to talk about that. We're also going to talk about the fact that Fort Worth PD has a Brady list, something that's called a Brady list of officers and their misconduct. That the list itself, however, is 37 pages long, and some of the things that they're charged with are pretty alarming. We're going to talk about that tonight. We're also going to talk about a Fort Worth PD officer who was recently fired when he shot his weapon in Hot Springs, Arkansas, while off duty and intoxicated. And that would be the third officer who was fired from Fort Worth PD this year. We're going to talk about it. And last but not least, we want to talk about the fact that Fort Worth PD gained state accreditation recently. We just wonder, you know, how the process took place and what exactly were the criteria for being accredited, seeing some of the things that we see on the Brady list. We're going to talk about that tonight. So y'all listen, click, tag, share, as I said earlier, tell a friend, tell a neighbor. Let's Talk Fort Worth is on the air, and we're going to talk about hot topics around Fort Worth. I see Adrian is on the line. Good evening, Adrian. How are you?
Hello. Adrian? Good evening, Carrie. Good evening. Good evening.
Good evening. And I think I'm looking for Wayman Brown, and I'm not sure which one of these numbers I'm supposed to go to, so I'm going to click. It's two that I see that I think maybe. Good evening, Wayman. How are you?
I'm good. How you doing, Carrie?
I'm good. Listen, I'm so glad I clicked the right one. Wayman, there's a lot going on in Fort Worth. There's a lot going on in Fort Worth. You know, and so we really don't get, you know, doing a show once a week, we really don't get to a lot of these topics because they're coming so fast. But tonight, the things that are on the agenda mostly kind of center around our police department, which we're going to get to in just a minute. But we also want to talk about what Judge Whitney said recently, Judge Whitley. He's our current Tarrant County judge. When he said he will not support either candidate, he was talking about the fact that Tim O'Hare is the Republican candidate who won. He felt like Tim O'Hare ran a very dirty race in terms of his mudslinging against Betsy Price. And then he went on to say that the Democratic candidate, which is Deborah Peoples, has never won at anything. So was he right to say that, or was he a little off base with his bias for Betsy Price? Well, I mean, we'll start with you because you ain't doing well.
Well, it's been a lot going on. I've just been sitting back looking, but with the O'Hare race, you know, one, let's take it from where it started. With Wright saying he's not going to endorse any candidate. Mm-hmm. We all know that the Republicans, well, there's really not a difference in parties anymore, Republican or Democrat. Mm-hmm. You know, okay. it's the have and the have-nots is what we're really looking at. Mm-hmm. So he's basically saying, hey, I'm not going to support either one because both of y'all are shady. You know, let's just call it what it is. Both of y'all are shady. Bessie flip-flopping. And he like, hey, either you going to stand with us or you going to stand with them. What you going to do? You know, she's trying to do whatever she can because she still want to play, quote, unquote, the old slave mammy of the plantation. Mm-hmm. You know, and then you got O'Hare, you know, he's still just, hey, he made the comment about Deborah before just his right head. You know, but I'm like this. If you feel like that, why you even got to bring it up?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so. That takes care of itself, but it's some shady business going on in this city, you know, and none of it's new. It's been going on for a long time. You know, my thing, I've always said technology has finally caught up to history. And that's what we're dealing with right now. Everything that you've named has, you know, it has a track record from back when Fort Worth was established. from the police, city council, the mayor, things that the police asked for, things the community been begging to get and not. I mean, you know, it's all tied in there together. And this judge race is only one of, like, hey, who gonna control the prison? That's basically what it's coming down to. Who gonna run the prison? And he's saying, I don't trust O'Hare, and he's talking about where he ran a dirty race. Hell, look how Bessie has ran her races.
It's a church.
You know, she's no squeaky clean person. So, you know, you get what you give. And I'm like this, people in glass houses shouldn't throw stones. So if he felt like that, you know, just say, hey, it's a personal vote. I'm going to let it be known who I want to endorse when I endorse them, and may the best person win and leave it at that.
To me, it almost says that, this is just me, to me, it almost says that they assume that Bessie Price was automatically going to win this thing, and it obviously ticked off a whole lot of people when she didn't. Now, the question is, what does he know that the rest of us don't know, that it was automatically a foregone conclusion that she would take his seat? So is he implying that Tim O'Hare did something dirtier than what we see and know about that made this happen? Because it doesn't stand to me to reason that he would be that upset, because this isn't by far the dirtiest campaign we've ever seen. So I'm just surprised that he would be so verbal.
Well, you look at all the dirt that Bessie went through, though, before she left office.
Oh, wow.
You know, you're talking about the Panther Island debacle. Yeah. You know, you look at how everything was set up as far as the gentrification, or what they call the new urban development going on. So you look at all of the things and missteps that Bessie made. Tell you the truth, all he did was just really pointed out all of her faux pas.
This is true. So yeah,
you know, so, hey, politics is politics, you know. You stand on your record, you know, and that's the thing that Deborah was calling out about. Hey, let's talk about the issues and stand on your record. But, you know, hey, when they get in them back rooms, like I say, there is no Democrat and Republican. It's the have and the have-nots.
That's true. Adrian, what do you think?
Well, I can quote words out of Mr. Whitley's own mouth. For one, it's one thing to come out and say what you're not going to do. You know, people's actions sometimes speak louder than their words. Mm-hmm. But sir, you're one vote, and I'm sure your influence is not that. It's not that going to be that big of a deal once you're gone, once you're out of office. I'm pretty sure people forget all about you. And we will continue on possibly business as usual, hopefully not. But his own words said, and I quote, I'm reading from his own words, I knew Tim when he was party chair. Hold on one second. I got some distraction. He said, I knew Tim when he was party chair, Whitley said. He came to me early last year and asked me if I was going to run for reelection. I said no. He told me he planned to do so, and I asked him if he would and asked if I would give him my support. I told him at that point that I felt strongly that Bessie was going to be running, and I would be supporting her. You knew Bessie was running. You gave Bessie heads up before you gave in. Come on. I feel like Bessie was going to be run. I feel like Bessie was going to be run. She's going to be run. You knew she was running. Why else would Bessie make the navigation from mayor to try to, well, I'm going to just take a, I'm going to not run again, blah, 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 set up Maddie Parker, and then, you know, went on that little hiatus, and then just come out all of a sudden, she want the judgeship. You know what I'm saying? So he already knew this. And then you can't bring up dirty politics. You can't bring up dirty politics because it's politics. That's what they do. So, yes, sir.
But Adrian, remember, she had originally said she was going to take over the Kay Granger's seat.
Yeah.
And then remember Kay Granger did an about face on her. So all of a sudden now you said you were going to take the Kay Granger seat. Kay's staying where she's staying put. So now where does that put you?
Right.
So
Right.
It's something going on with the money and the power structure in Fort Worth to where Betsy Price got a hold on these folks, or they got a hold on her and need her in certain places in order for them to continue to have business as usual.
And it just show, and not only that, and I'm going to say one more thing. You know, it just shows you how corrupt and crooked they are because they look out for each other. How is Kay Granger even? How is Kay Granger even? She don't reposition herself back in the politics or whatever. So, and then they had their hands all in this Panther Island nonsense. So it just shows you these people doing exactly what they want to do. And you know what? The sad part, people who's allowing it, the people that's supporting this buffoonery, you know, this show, the people that's the ones that enable us.
But no, it's
big money.
That's
what I'm saying.
Money. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a big money.
That's what I'm saying. So people who are doing this, that's allowing this, because they got the right, they got their puppets in place. They know the ones who are going to do their bidding, you know, without question. Just slide them a little money under the table. They'll keep doing whatever. As long as everybody's fat on it, you know, living fat off the hog, we good, you know. But yeah,
well,
like I say, Judge Whitley, he just talking. He just, who cares?
I was just gonna say this though. You know, whenever you're in power, to me, it's the professional thing to do to have a clear transfer of power where you move the next person in and you move out gracefully. I don't feel like the way he put this statement out there, he was leaving office gracefully. I think he was sowing discord for the next commissioner's court that's going to be put in place. Whoever takes the judgeship, he's already saying, basically, I don't like this person, and you ought to not like him either. That's just my opinion, Judge Whitley, if you happen to hear about this show.
Not only that, Carrie, he served 25 years, so you're right. He should have done it more gracefully, and because he's been in that position for the last 25 years, so... Yeah, he's too old to be acting like that.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, watch this though. You just hit on a key point. You said he'd been serving 25 years. You look at his age. Look at back 25 years ago, how they used to run Fort Worth and what the mindset was. Because remember, it's been said, like I say, technology has finally caught up to history. And a lot of them kids that them folks had at them Klan rallies and that they had at them hangings and them burnings of people of color, them kids done grew up. And them people back then who had money and some that came into money for doing things for those that had the money, those same kids are now our judges, our doctors, our attorneys, our police people. So it don't surprise me all of this is starting to spill out now. It's supposed to.
That's true. Well, I hadn't thought about it like that, but that's true. And I'll say this, and we're going to move on. Y'all, back in the day, and you can go back in my archives, I did a show with a former Klansman and a current Klansman, and it was one of the most heated shows I've ever done. But back to what happened, the current Klansman, I asked the question because I was just totally out of the loop as to what they did these days. And I asked him, I said, so why do you all burn crosses in people's yards? You know, what is that about? Why are you all intimidating people and you know, doing things like that? And basically, the gist of what he said was, we don't do that anymore. He said, we are now judges, doctors, lawyers, police people. So he was saying, we are legally doing what we do instead of getting in trouble. You know, for hanging people and doing like that, we can legally get you through being a police officer, by being a doctor, by being a school teacher. So FYI, the Klan is moving differently than they used to move. But anyway, we're moving on. Huh?
I said, come on.
Yeah, that's what I'm just showing you what's going on. Let's talk about Fort Worth ISD. There's a lot going on over there. Adrian, you did some research on that. What did you find out?
Well, basically, I just read up on what you shared with me earlier, and it seemed like Fort Worth just has taken a page out of the Fort Worth City Council's book of how they're trying to silence people, you know, with their tactics. You know, they have taken a page out of the Fort Worth City Council's book. So it's like a it's like a disregard and a disrespect for the people who come to the meetings, you know. And they, you know, they being selective in what they want to, what they want to hear, you know, what they want to hear, basically. Mm-hmm. They don't like, it's like they don't like being questioned or challenged on anything that's, that might be having to dealing with their leadership. I guess their leadership ability. They you know, they are the trustee, so they are in those positions, so they have all the decisions. They know, you know, and I think that's possibly why that one guy's stepping down, that Jacinto. And that order, and what you shared with me, he has stated to some people that y'all not my constituents. So y'all not my constituents. So all of a sudden now he's doing an about face about he's stepping down now. He's having a change of heart with being a trustee. So it's all making sense now.
Well, you do know.
Please tell us.
You do know that the school district still falls up under the umbrella of the city council.
Oh, wow. No, I didn't know that.
See, that's the part that they don't – that's why you have these meetings on the same night, because they never – you know, you never want the left hand to know what the right hand is doing.
Mm-hmm.
See, everything in the city is supposed to fall up under the city council.
Oh, I didn't know
that's
that.
Your police. That's your firemen. That's your school district. That's your businessmen and contractors. All of that falls up under city government. So it is no surprise that they're taking that page out, because they have an agenda.
Mm.
You know, a preacher once said this: if you keep them dumb, you keep them longer.
Mm. I can believe that. And what I'm hearing, but what I'm hearing too is that the Toby Jackson is allowing some group that isn't even like living here in Fort Worth to come in and basically like bully other people in the meeting. And I'm not even understanding that. If you're not a parent in the Fort Worth ISD and you don't live in the city of Fort Worth, then why would you be going to the school board meetings and having anything to say? That doesn't make sense to me.
Well, that's part of the magic. See, it's the smoke and mirrors.
Mm.
If it's people that live here and they start giving the legitimate gripes, okay. Friend of mine used to coach my son, Dr. James Whitfield. Mate got his doctorate. He was principal. He was going up the ladder. They hired him over in Colleyville. Next thing you know, they complaining, talking about, oh, he's teaching CRT. Man hadn't done no such thing. Now, when you start talking about equability versus being equal, all of a sudden now they got an argument. Because we were talking about equality and human rights back in the 60s. Now that we're saying you got to do what's on paper, all of a sudden they've come with a new agenda now. We've been pushed to the back of the line again. Because now when you're talking about what needs to be taught in the schools and who you're going to have allowed to come and speak, what's the word they used to use? They're bringing in outside agitators.
That's what they do. Right. That's what he said is happening. Okay, gotcha.
So you're bringing in outside agitators, but are they bringing any validity to the things you're talking about, and how does it affect the Fort Worth ISD?
Go ahead.
Because think about it. Okay. I don't have any children in the Fort Worth ISD.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God. And I made sure I didn't, because we paid for them to go somewhere else so they could get a good education. I'm calling out every school board member from back from 1988 when I had first had children, no, nah, I'll go deeper than that. From 1963, when I was born, up until today, I'm calling out every Fort Worth ISD school member because you haven't done anything to better our education system in this city. Not a thing. Buildings that are just now being remodeled or being refurbished, man, that stuff should have been done 35, 40 years ago. But you wait till it's in election time, wait till it's hot button time, you wait till you try to get votes, and then you want to start knocking on doors talking about the things you're going to change. Meanwhile, we're still in the lowest percentile in reading. We're in the lowest percentile. Dunbar used to be the only school that we could get academic accolades from because they had a magnet program. And what happened to that? So
I don't know why.
Those, well, you got to look at it like this. They want their hands on their property, so if the school fails, we can shut it down and do what we want. But if it's succeeding, it's harder for us to get them people out of there. Remember, we talked about judgeship and money. All of it still ties in together. All of it's still going together. You follow the money, you'll start solving every problem that we see in this city. Because without the money, you know, without a good education system, well, that justifies us from not going over here and fixing up y'all houses and bettering y'all community and giving y'all a better school system. It's all hooked up. And see, that's the thing. They try to get us so involved in all these other little side antics to where we stop reading the blueprint. But when you read that blueprint and you find out how city government is ran and you find out how you can because you can have a better neighborhood and still the taxes are reasonable. You don't have to have astronomical taxes to have a good neighborhood. You just got to put people in positions. Go ahead.
But see, well, you know, we got to stop putting so much money into Fort Worth ISD. And the reason I say this is I don't have any kids.
Yeah.
I haven't had any kids in their school system ever. And for 20 years, my property taxes have been going over there. But yet we're looking at failing schools. We're looking at the over-policing of our kids in the schools. We're looking at the fact that they're basically trying to use Fort Worth PD to get our children in the system. I mean, for basically small offenses. You know, so things that typically you would send somebody to the principal's office for, now they're taking those officers in the school and trying to get them to arrest our students. So to me, there's a whole lot going wrong with 4RPD. I mean, seriously.
They're going to make it a police. They're going to make Texas a police state. That's what they're looking to do.
So basically, in a nutshell, as I look over this article, you see the committee allowed public participation for the last 7 years. But once people started to show up and criticize its approach, committee members demanded that parents no longer record their meetings. They ultimately barred the public from attending anymore. So they basically, and let me quote what Jacinto did. Jacinto, At a February 22nd meeting, Fort Worth ISD School Board meeting, Trustee Jacinto Ramos showed his anti-parent sentiment during public comment, shouting back, "You don't owe me, and you are not my constituents." Parents, now think about who acts like this in the city council. Parents had asked Ramos to pay attention to their concerns rather than read a book while speakers comment. Now, we violated some council members that seem to be, when people are up speaking, they seem to be like just doing their own thing, like as if we're not before them speaking. So it just shows you these people been in position too long. They've been in position too long.
Mm-hmm.
It's time to uproot them.
I'm gonna piggyback off what you said. I know certain council members, when people get up to speak, they go to the bathroom. Well, my comment on that is your bathroom break should be taken before you take that podium, because for a 30-minute session, you ought to be able to hold your water until that session is over. And I see it done a lot in public presentation. That's unacceptable. I mean, people are coming up, they're taking time out of their own private schedules to come up there and voice their opinions on whatever the matter is, and they need the entire council's undivided attention when they're up there talking. That's just my opinion, but I see a certain council member who repeatedly keeps doing that, going to the bathroom while people are talking. And to me, that's unacceptable.
I know who it is.
Yep,
I feel
well,
too, but I'm not.
It's a disrespectful tactic, and that's they continue to practice it, you know, and like you say, they have, if you read their code of conduct, they don't address it.
Uh-uh.
They don't even address it. You know, they talk about all these other things, and see, that's another reason why, you know, my wife asked, she said, do you ever think you'd run again? I say, why would I? I can get more done out here in the streets than I could sitting on a board being a figurehead.
Oh, wow. And that's one way of thinking of it, because, you know, they tie your hands a little bit when you get up there. We see how people have changed very quickly since they've taken those seats. So you talk one way before you get in the seat. Yeah. I'm just saying, you start to move a little differently when you get in the seat. So that's just my take on that. Yeah, we're going to go to the phone lines. Listen, if you just tuned in, you're listening to Let's Talk Fort Worth. I'm Terry Hines, your host. Tonight we're talking about hot topics around Fort Worth. If you have a question or a comment, tonight the call-in number is 515-605-9321. Then press 1 once connected. We're going to go to 903-802. Good evening. You're on Let's Talk Fort Worth.
Hey, how you doing, Ms. Terry?
Fine. How are you?
All good in the hood. Can't complain.
Absolutely.
The sad thing is, you know, we're talking about the council members paying attention. It's the same thing as Fort Worth ISD. You know, you got Jacinto Ramos over there just sitting there reading a book, playing on his laptop and stuff. So we called him out the last time. Hey, he didn't like it. He responded back, you know, he was just not in a good mood. But, you know, I mean, it's disrespectful. I mean, let's go back talking about Fort Worth City Council particularly. It's bad enough that they moved our speaking time away from the agenda, so it takes the power away, or it takes the effectiveness away. And so by doing that, you know, that just shows a lack of respect they have for the people. You know, it's just like they get up there and they're like, okay, I don't have to represent nobody. And that's why we got to stop putting people in there, you know, that are recycled politicians or career or have ulterior motives. You know, you get somebody that really wants to do something and they get skirted by one party or the other. I mean, both parties do it, obviously, which sucks. But, you know, we as the people got to stop doing that and get educated and start, you know, flipping the roles and changing it. It just really sucks, you know, and it's disheartening because, you know, we got neighborhoods that are fighting the Fort Worth City Council, you know, on certain things like, you know, South Side over there on the Hemp Hill side. Then you got the Poly area, you know, they're having their issues. And it's like, come on now, you know. At some point in time, we're going to have to lay down the party line to grab each other's hands. But at the same time, if the party is slapping you in the face every time, don't you think it's time to try something different? You know, like Elizabeth Beck, she slapped the South Side many times, and they don't hear us.
So let me ask you this. Did you have you been attending Fort Worth ISD school meeting?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, please tell us what happens when you go.
Oh, they disregard us. They just don't listen, or, you know, they just pass what they want to pass. You know, the only rise we ever got, and we weren't even trying to, was out of Jacinto Ramos, but he's the worst. You know, he's the one that kind of brought Kent Scribner here. And not only that, you know, the Racial Equity Committee, which, you know, that's a $2 million equity. They got $2 million last year while kids are failing, while kids are reading at a third grade level, you know, at seventh and eighth grade. You know, and I mean, how are you pouring back in the community when you're using racial, you know, you're what we call a race pimp. You're pimping the race, but none of the races are reading at the level that they need to read at, whether they're white, black, you know, Hispanic, mm-hmm. Asian, or other. So, I mean, what are you doing? You're doing nothing but sitting here peddling and pandering for the vote, but thank God he's finally leaving. You know, we just got to make sure we put the right person in there. I mean, but we get, you know, I mean, they took the last one, they took the time and moved it all the way to the end. We were there till 1 o'clock in the morning.
Whoa.
Yeah. But we stood the test, but it was disrespectful. Yeah, it was very disrespectful to do that. And the problem I have is, like, I keep trying to tell the group that we go with, at some point in time, you need to call a spade a spade. Toby Jackson is not good, or she should have been doing her job the right way a long time ago. She's the school board president right now. She should have been saying, no, I'm not going to move it, and if you don't like it, you can take your ass on somewhere else. Excuse my language. But sometimes, you know, we need people that's going to get in there and tell, you know, people like Jacinto, who tries to be, you know, this old big gangster dude. And I called him out. I said, you know what, Jacinto, you try to act like a gangster, but you were willing to sell out Toby Jackson. Back in my day, we'd have beat your ass.
Yep.
He didn't like that. I said, see, you're willing to sell somebody out. So we would have pushed you out the neighborhood.
Whoa. So when you all go to the meeting, let me ask you, so when y'all go to the meeting, when you're saying when the people, the parents wanted to speak, they put that at the back of the agenda.
Yeah, that was the very first time that they put it all the way at the end.
City council format.
Is what?
That's the city council format.
They followed the same.
That's what Adrian said earlier. They followed the same script.
That's true. Put the people last.
Yeah, because, you know, I mean, it just makes no sense. Like, also, we want them to know that we care enough about the kids that they all need help. You know, why aren't they pushing 504 hard? I mean, if you want funding, push the 504. There's kids that need that extra push. 504 doesn't mean you're special. Doesn't mean you're stupid. Doesn't mean you're mental. It just means you need that extra push to bring out that smartness in you. Like, my son had 504. And some of these kids I see need 504, which, you know, 504 is a program to help a kid get extra help, like whether it be math, science, I mean, whatever they're struggling in. But, you know, they don't educate the parents on. You would think they would educate, you know, impoverished areas, because there's some kids that are very smart. They just need that extra help to pull it out of them. Because they, you know,
so 504
go ahead, ma'am.
So 504 is the new resource. Back in my day, they would call that the resource class. So is that what that is?
Uh-huh.
It's called the resource. Amen, okay. Yeah. And they don't pull you out of the class and put you in a class full of kids that are the same. They have little programs where they can pull you from, where it keeps you inside the classroom, so you feel a part of it, so you're not segregated or you know, distanced. So they have an inclusion teacher that comes there and includes you on how to do what the other kids who might be more advanced in one way or the other to help you get where they're at.
It's the new divide
so
and conquer is what they're doing.
Sounds like.
Right. So instead, they'd rather take the money, put in racial equity committee, and have every race fighting each other. You know, there's kids that won't hang out with other kids, even though they've been friends forever, because of this committee. You know,
what
I mean, there's a lot of money wasted. And a lot of it they're using the American Rescue Plan Act. They're using that to push it into that, which is millions of dollars. And then they're taking the CARES Act money and giving bonuses and say, hey, look, we're doing really good work here. And it's ridiculous. I mean, everybody deserves better than that.
Well, tell us about this girl. Oh, yeah, go ahead.
You remember when they had the teacher over at Riverside, right? That was said she wrote, the one that wrote Trump about the Hispanics.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I do. Mm-hmm.
Okay. The thing that we brought up in that was, how is it that you can have a person, and this falls on the school board. How are you going to allow a person to have that kind of mindset to talk about that the city decided to integrate?
Mm-hmm.
This what, you know, the city made that decision to integrate that school and bus kids over there, because I was one of them that was bused over there. But then now you turn around because the people that you were busing in the community now live in the community and go to school in the community. You're saying that the teacher is saying, we don't want them here.
Wow.
This is the kind of school board that we're dealing with. Go ahead.
I heard something's going on with the school that they put on Lancaster. What did they say the name of that school was, Adrian? What's the name of the school on Lancaster that we were talking about the other day that I said that there's a big problem at?
You was asking about Metro. It's not Khan Academy. Khan Academy. You asked about Metro. Metro is the alternative program for students, you know, who might have, you know, issues, you know. Alleged issues. I'm going to say alleged issues, because we know they label everybody pretty much the same, you know, when they can't deal with people's behavior. So Metro.
Well, I saw a video where they were talking about a lot going on at Metro and they're over policing. Malik, can I add you to the conversation so you can tell us what's going on at the ISD school meeting? Good evening.
Good evening.
Tell us about what's going on at Phoenix ISD.
Nothing but a Jim Crow, racist people that are trying to get rid of certain curriculums out of the school. And thing of it is, with that meeting last night, they tried to act like it was about the kids, but it wasn't. It was about the board member, Quentin Phillips, being attacked by that same group that's been allowed in the board meetings, saying derogatory. And, they call you everything less than the nigger, really, tell you the truth, indirectly. It's pretty much it is what it is, but in that meeting, they try to make about like about the kids, but it springboarded and then what was going on with Quentin Phillips and to get people to come down there to the board meeting this coming Tuesday in support of what he's being attacked about, which is, you know, the Race and Equity Committee, which, you know, it ain't producing nothing. It ain't doing nothing, but it was designed to identify the racial disparities of, you know, people of African descent in the school system because they were most suspended. Everything we do, you know, we at the bottom. And so they supposed to identify that, correct it, put the right programs or curriculums in to get our kids better achievements, you know, as they should be along with, you know, with their white counterparts. And that's why we fought to get in the African-American curriculum because, you know, if the kids see themselves in the curriculum, they will, you know, studies show they'll do better, you know. But it's always a sickness to their madness and, you know, really it's no one to stand up for them and, you know, and fight for them, you know, for those people who try to dictate our culture and our history, you know, that's just jacked up. And so, you know, but they, I think it's SB003, clearly states that, you know, they can't teach really your heritage and culture, especially the parts that deal with the civil rights movement, you know, the racial disparities, and, you know, bigotry, hate, racism, you know, et cetera. And so they started, these groups started these crusades throughout Texas or really all across the country, you know, to, you know, a lot of superintendents have resigned, you know, and a lot of teachers have quit because of the stiff penalty that's being, you know, placed in. If they even talk about it, you know, Tim O'Hara helped get that brother out of his job over there in South Lake. And so those things, you know, the thing about it is, where they looking at it is that, you know, the civil rights bill expired 2015, voter rights bill is no nothing, so we might as well go back to that old page of Jim Crow and tell these Negroes how to do and what to do. And the sad part about it, I part of that Renew America group, yeah, I seen a Hispanic person and African, you know, this sister, white boy name is Kevin Witt, the Hispanic lady name is Blanca Martinez, and the African lady, her name is Ajay or something. I forgot her last name. But anyway, they are part of this plot to take down what they call critical race theory, which they don't teach that in school. That critical race theory don't ain't taught until you go into college. That's a college course.
Exactly.
And so they are just really saying, you niggas shut up, do what we say, and teach how we want to teach. It's just like, you know, you second-class citizen, three-fourths human, you know, et cetera. I mean, that's, it is what it is. But if we don't combat it and fight against it, you know, we don't get handled the way they handle us. You know, what first thing, you know, Philip should have done, he should have stood up for himself, stood his ground, you know, instead of rolling back and showing and give them that, you know, fear and God don't belong in the same place, you know.
Well,
amen.
Well, let me ask you this, and we got to move on. So what's going on at Metro over in Lancaster? Do you know anything about some issues over there?
I don't entertain Metro.
Oh, okay. So, okay.
Metro's
okay.
been around for a long time.
I'm going to say just like this. Metro, that go back to it's all the game.
Mm-hmm.
Who on their board is tired of Kim Monroe? Quinn and Cento. They both work there.
See?
Oh.
And who got to help fill up that juvenile facility? Nigga.
Come on.
And so, and it's all a game. So when your child don't get up to certain speed and curriculum, and or have a little discourse, they don't spend a lot of time trying to figure out why that child is behaving the way he or she. Because it's 9 times 10 to something that's going on at the house. But like I say, we don't do enough. It's time for us to get away from them, get our own institutions. Because we have enough people in our communities that got good jobs and do whatever we have to parlay to start getting our own institution, get up, pull our kids up out of that mess.
I agree. Thank you, Malik, for chiming in tonight on that Fort Worth ISD issue. And you so you as well, Trevor. Thank you all so much for chiming in tonight. Okay, y'all, we got to move on. We got to play catch up. We got a whole lot of more topics to get to. Let's talk about the fact that Councilman Nettles and the city council had a vote on March 8th. The vote was about whether or not the Fort Worth ISD would get a new Bearcat vehicle that was being donated to them by Homeland Security. Well, the vote went like this. Nettles, Beck, and Williams said no. Crane, Flores, Moon, and Firestone said yes, and Bivens abstained on that vote. However, Manny Ramirez came out and he was totally upset with Nettles, Beck, and Williams for their vote. And basically, Manny called the three council people who voted no. He said that those three council members put politics above police officer safety. Okay, now this vehicle, this Bearcat, is basically an armored vehicle that he alleges is to be used by highly trained and specially equipped police officers when the threat level against themselves or citizens is so high that literally they expect bullets to be fired at them. So that's what Manny is saying. However, Chris came back and made a statement, and basically he says, I believe in protecting our residents, including the Fort Worth police officers. I also believe that there are other avenues to protect our officers without militarizing our force. The city already has two Bearcat vehicles. Why do we need a third? Now, this is what I think, and y'all tell me what y'all think. I think and then Manny Ramirez, basically his statement was that he felt like this was a slap in the face to police officers and their families for these three councilmen to put politics above safety. I feel like that was a bullying. I really think that no POA should ever come back on a vote made by the council, because if they vote their conscience, that's what we want them to do, or conscience, that's what we want them to do. So why would we then allow our police department to bully our council people on a vote? Now, do y'all agree with that, or is it just me?
No, well, think about it. Again, let's look at the blueprint. If you remember in the 80s, they started a thing up east, and they started calling, and they even made a song about it. It was called the Bat-A-Ram.
Okay.
Now, what the Bat-A-Ram was a utility vehicle that the police used. So when they got ready to go in there and knock down them dope sellers' doors and try to get ain't access, see, all Manny doing, he's following the same blueprint. Hey, man, we need something, because now let's think about it. Crime has not went down in the city of Fort Worth. Drug usage has not went down in the city of Fort Worth. Now, they know what all the drugs are being sold, because Fort Worth ain't that big.
That's true.
So if they know where the dope is being sold, and you know it's going to be a chance of going in there and get fired upon, why are you saying you need another vehicle when you're not even utilizing the ones you got?
That's true.
So you're basically, again, you're trying to make it a police state, and everything that you want to have done through the city, I don't care if it's even a reading curriculum, they got one with the police department now.
Hmm.
So everything that they want done, well, you got to come through us. No, we don't. And that's our city council's fault for doing that. Because, mm-hmm. again, that's that money flipping again. That's that money flipping again. Because tell me, why is it you and what do you feel you're going to need the use of these type of vehicles? Because you don't know. You might go to a domestic disturbance. And, we've seen that turn into a police shooting. You mm-hmm. might have somebody that's mentally ill at a store. We've mm-hmm. seen that turn into a police shooting. Mm-hmm. So when you talk about these highly trained individuals,
mm-hmm.
what are they highly trained in? Because another topic that you're talking about in this particular show is mm-hmm. all these discrepancies and violations that are 37 pages long of all these officers committing these offenses, but yet instead you're talking about give them something else to turn loose on the community? Man, leave me with that nonsense.
And you know what? They use one of these vehicles per Mr. Nettles near the George Floyd protests in downtown Fort Worth. So what were those protesters doing that were so violent that they thought they needed one of their Bearcat vehicles out there? So that already shows you that they have the ability to misuse those vehicles when they choose to.
Well, it's an intimidation factor.
Yep.
You know, I'll say it like this. When we had that nonsense going on up here on Barry and Miller, when they wanted to come up there and chase Kamala Harris and those people up there at the polling place, and we had people out of Poly, we had people out the South Side, we had people out of Eastwood, Stop 6, Woodhaven, Meadowbrook, all us locked up, and it was different people on different days. Mm. But y'all come through here with that nonsense if you want to. This ain't the 60s. This ain't the fight you want. And wow. And what they're doing, they're saying, hey man, we don't have a way to defend ourselves if the community decides they're going to turn on us because we're killing them.
That's really
no man. We're going to put a stop to this nonsense.
Wow.
And we're not going to say we're going to give you more weapons to hurt us.
But I'm just trying to figure out, what do you need three for? I mean, where are you going to post them up at? And what has been going on in Fort Worth is so bad that says
that,
you need three on the ground?
Carrie, that point right there exactly, I cannot tell you any instances where there has been a need for SWAT to come out in these high-risk situations. Now, I know that SWAT goes out when they're going to do drug raids. I see that. Most time I see the Bearcat out, you gotta. Sometimes you can be out and you can see them rolling in a convoy, and they have one of those Bearcats with them because they're going to.
Mm-hmm.
First thing we say, they about to go hit something because we see them. It'd be the Bearcat, it'd be a lot more unmarked vehicles, and they just rolling, no lights, they just rolling. So we know they about to go do something. But it's seldom that we're having.
Wait. Didn't they use one of them Bearcats at that Como event that y'all do every year?
Well, I was just going to say that. Oh. That's what it's for. It's an intimidation factor. We don't want y'all to start celebrating and coming together and doing things and finding resolve for stuff. We need chaos out here so we can say we need this to control you.
But
it's the only thing on the book.
And you know what? I don't even think it's about them getting the vehicle. I think it's about the fact that they've got some council members who are not going along with the way they normally do things, which is why a lot of these new council members were voted in, because we voted them in on the basis that we feel these people are going to bring about change. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You still have some of that old guard in place. You know,
mm-hmm.
of course,
mm-hmm.
those other five, we know those other ones were going to vote the way they were going to vote. That's typical. Mm-hmm. And Miss Gina Bivens abstaining, again, ma'am, that doesn't exclude you from you're still a black woman. You know what I'm saying? So she tried to straddle the fence and things. You can't straddle the fence, Gina, because at the end of the day, people voted you in for for a specific reason. Now we know y'all not going to get everything right. We don't expect y'all to get everything right, but we expect y'all to make decisions for the whole of Fort Worth and not just for one entity. And I have a reply for Mr. Ramirez. It'll be coming up Tuesday. Yes, it was bullying, and I think Elizabeth Beck, she called him out on it as well. She said she feel as if it was he running for commissioner. So basically, he's trying to keep his name out there. He's using the climate of the moment,
yep,
to do what they normally do. A lot of stuff he said in his reply to those council members and how he was displeased. I'm gonna use a lot of what he said and just put it in reverse. And so I'm not surprised by Mr. Ramirez. It's sad though, but again, the council has enabled this over the years. They have enabled it. And I'm gonna say this one last thing. If these council members are so against you all, this Fort Worth, didn't the same council just vote you all in a 10-year extension on the CCPD? The same council, yeah, you said that's against, wow, policing? Didn't, wow, the same council just vote you in 10 years of taxpayer money to do whatever y'all want to do? The same council you saying is against you. Oh, we forgot about that part, though. We forgot about that. They anti-police. But the same council that includes Nettles, that includes Beck, that includes Mr. Williams, they just gave you all a 10-year extension not that long ago. So I'm confused, Mr. Ramirez. I'm confused.
Excellent point. Y'all, we're going to leave it right there, but you get the gist of where we're going. Y'all, listen, another thing that's going on, the Democratic Party is holding a closed meeting on April 2nd. Let me read the memo. Somebody tipped me off with the memo, so I'm gonna read it to y'all basically really quick. It says we're going to hold a primary election debrief on April 2nd. I encourage you or a representative of your campaign to attend. In order to have an efficient meeting where everyone is heard, I also encourage you to write down your thoughts ahead of time, what went well, what went poorly, and what questions you have. We are interested in getting feedback on anything regarding the primary campaign season, early voting, election day, and the results process from the primary election. The invitees to this meeting include candidates, TCDP committee chairs, and the TCDP leadership committee. Within these populations, we also have poll workers and election judges who work the polls on the first. Otherwise, this is a closed meeting. I want everyone to feel comfortable voicing their honest feedback and questions. If for any reason you do not feel comfortable voicing your feedback or questions, you are welcome to put them in the chat during the meeting or emailing them to us ahead of time. Now, this is the thing. There's so much that went wrong with that election. It's not funny. In my opinion, mm-hmm, that election is so poorly that it needs to be done over. Now, that's just my opinion. We're talking about it went that bad. And so in my opinion, is this their way of trying to say, oh, okay, oops, we messed up. Okay, so we're just going to all vent and then everybody can go home happy? I think it's bigger to the Democratic Party. I think this is bigger than a vent session. I think unless what you did wrong can be fixed, this is pointless, because I know of instances where you all fail to keep candidates updated via emails. You failed to return phone calls. You showed favor to one Democratic candidate over another. You didn't follow rules on some, and then was very strict on your rules on others. You allow signature sheets required to put candidates on the ballot, to be missing information like the VUID numbers, the socials, the signatures, the circulator's names, the circulator's signatures, the full address info, and notary stamps. So that said, dear Tarrant County Democratic Party, unless you're going to fix this election by starting over, I don't think a damn vent session is going to do it. Now, that's just me, y'all. That's just me. But I
that's
have a
truth.
Lot of insight. Am I right?
That's the truth.
Okay. I'm just saying. something's wrong with this party.
I think Carrie, also what they're trying to do is they're trying to get, because one thing about, regardless if the Republicans, they all, both parties are going to play dirty. But for one reason, some reason or another, Republicans always found a way to come together when they try to get some stuff done, you know. So I'm thinking, like you said, with them inviting, whether you won or not, to the you say even if you lost the race, you invited as well, right?
Yeah, if you're a candidate, judge, poll worker,
candidate.
Yeah.
So I figure you inviting everybody because you got to, for one, those are gonna equal votes. So if I get a losing candidate to come here and convince them that, hey, you know, we still want you to be a part of this movement or whatever, this party, we still need you, blah, 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 then that person can be convinced to try to convince the people that were supporting them to, you know,
mm-hmm.
you know what I'm saying, to go ahead
and
vote the party line. I mean, vote the party line. Because a lot of people not going to be at them polls come November. A lot of people are not planning on being at them polls come November. That's a long way off. So we got to get people, we got to get ahead of this thing to make sure we're going to have enough people at these polls, because we need to try to get a blue wave, I guess another blue wave going. But, and then, like you say, also trying to make up for this mishap, this debacle of an election we had. And, I mean, it's nothing really you can do. It's nothing you really can do because, like you say, some still might feel like it just wasn't favorable, you know, something was going on, but you know, they probably just can't put their finger on it. So they're trying to get ahead of this. They know a lot of people not going to be. A lot of people are going to be disinterested from this time forth going to November.
Yeah.
They're trying to get everybody on board that they can, because it's a crucial moment. Texas is not going blue. I mean, Texas is not going blue, you all. I'm sorry. It's going to stay red.
No.
So, but if they can get any kind of momentum, they'll use it.
And they're not attracting young voters.
Oh, that's true. Mm-hmm. That's true. You know what? Trevor was in this last election, and he has raised his hand again. So we're going to go back to Trevor. And Trevor, you're going to Trevor's a Republican. Trevor, tell us what your thoughts are on that.
Fire Harder Garcia, get rid of the machines, and we'll all be happy. But until then, there's not going to be no rest.
Oh,
we just have to get rid of that guy. He's terrible. You know, he's the issue that we've been having. You know, with both parties. You know, because I don't believe Marvin Sutton got as least as he got. I believe that man was out there grinding.
Oh.
You know, and I believe he was got a lot more than what they lead on. But you got to remember, mm-hmm. Deborah Peoples was one of the five people that brought hired him, and so was Tim O'Hare. So they both got to fall on the sword for that, you know, and we have to hold them responsible for it. And so now here we are with this election administrator who, everywhere he goes, he ruins elections.
You're taking us too fast. Did you say who hired Hyder?
Deborah Peoples, Tim O'Hare, Ron Wright, the late Ron Wright, he's passed away, Judge Whitley, who else? Mary Louise Nichols.
Yeah, you're talking about all the Democrats. You're talking about all the Democratic heads.
No, that's Republican too.
Ron Wright's a Republican. Tim a Republican, or supposed to be. And Ron Wright and Judge Whitley are all supposed to be Republicans.
Oh my God! Y'all better pay attention.
Yep.
There's some bombs that are dropping. Are you serious? Oh my God!
Yeah,
this
so here we are with putting. Yeah, so I mean, this is where it's at. We are stuck until we get Hyder out. We are screwed until we get rid of these machines. Would cost us way more than it would to go back to paper ballots, where both sides had no problems at, and it was a fair election across the board, and whoever won, that was what it was. But now that we have Hyder, ever since he's been in, ever since they introduced the machines back in 2018, Andy Nguyen, who's going to be in precinct two. He was one of the ones that voted to bring it in, along with J.D. Johnson, along with Whitley, along with Roy Brooks and Gary Fickus.
I think that's just
a machine cost us $5.9 million apiece and $66,000 to maintain.
Whoa. That is scary. I mean, I don't know if y'all heard what I heard, but I heard something on a whole other level with what he just said. But whoa, that's scary. So you're saying, and this is Trevor saying, not Kerry saying, you're saying that Hyder, who's over the election commission, was hired.
Yep, he's our administrator.
He's a what?
He's our
administrator.
He's the administrator.
Yeah, in other words, he runs this thing, and you know, and according to Whitley, everything was good. This is what he said last Tuesday. Judge Whitley said, everything went good with our elections. We had a good. What kind of crack are you smoking, bro? You need to get off that BS, because I'm telling you right now, I don't know what elections you've seen, but I know. What I've
seen. Whoa.
He'd be on that BS.
Wow. It's gonna be some lawsuits in a minute when this thing when they get to the bottom of the
issue. So bad.
Wow. Somebody said the fans need to be called.
It hurt both sides. I mean, just look at the Southwest Sub Courthouse. The Democrats got a couple machines that were just acting up and chewing up, chewing up the ballots. So, I mean,
chewing
you know,
up the
that
ballots.
Left them stranded. Yeah, it left them stranded, which, you know, that ain't fair to their side. And then the Republicans had the same issue in other places, including the Sub Courthouse. Democrats had a problem over there at one of the elementary schools. Forest Park, one of those, and they had issues. I mean, this hurts.
Hey, Kerry, I'm going to say this real quick. Look here. We know when our elections are going to be held. Y'all had enough time to do test runs on these machines. Y'all had enough time to do adequate testing. Now, look here. Hurry up with the drop of ball. The Texas Lottery, they run a lottery every day, right? Been doing a lottery since 1992. They don't just drop numbers. They do tests. They do pre-tests before every election. Every election, they do pre-tests of the machines to ensure that there's no issue once they go live. Pre-test. That should have been.
This is the problem I had with this election. How are you not going to have people to run the polls? Where they do that?
Yeah, I'll tell you, on the Republican Party leadership side, you had 2 years to get poll watchers, precinct chair. I mean, you can name it. And I don't know about the Democratic side, but I mean, 2 years. That's why we don't like our chair, because he is – I mean, I hate to say it, and I hate to put it out there, but I think we all know that our party chair, he don't do nothing. He sucks. And we really want to get rid of him, but guess what? We got that same old, good old boy shaking your hand, quid pro quo bull crap.
Yeah. You know, because the group I was working with, even though, you know, I'm incapacitated to work in polls now, but, hey, I'm getting like 2 and 3 calls, you know – 7-8 months ahead of time. Hey, Wayman, we worked good together for the last 2 years. We're trying to keep a good solid group together. Are you going to be able to work the polls?
Wow.
Nah, man, I'm not going to be able to. You know, and then we're talking, this is 7 or 8 months prior to the election coming up.
Wow.
So you mean to tell me there were 3 polling places that couldn't do that?
No, I heard 10.
Oh,
heard
Lord.
10.
Yeah, I heard 10.
Oh, my.
Yeah. Now, hear this. How is it that all of a sudden a group of election judges decided we ain't going to work this election all at the same time?
Well, I mean, from the Republican side, and this is what I get from the real conservatives, not the rhino bullcrap, you know, whitewashed mofos. I call them the whitewashers. But from the true conservatives, they're like, you know what? We're trying to get the right people in there. I mean, at least that's going to represent everybody, not just one side or the other. They want to represent the people of hope, because that's what their job is supposed to be. You know, is we put them in there to represent all of us, not, you know, X, Y, and Z only. And they're like, no, we're done. We don't even want to work. They're saying they don't even want to work in November, because they're like, this is bullcrap. Until we get rid of Hyder and get rid of these machines and go back to hand counting, and we get people that's going to represent us, they don't even want to work it. They barely want to vote.
Whoa. Y'all heard it here first. Right.
And again,
it's about 1,000 that I've talked to, and they're like, we're kind of done with this.
And again, nobody's recruiting young people to get in here and start learning this stuff. But this goes back to the CRT nonsense they're talking. How can we teach about government without talking about cultures, without talking about backgrounds? How can we teach about world history? How can we talk about history, period, when we don't talk about demographics to where people come from, that we all in one melting pot and trying to live together?
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes time to vote,
you want to put it all on, like you said about Wright. That's somebody I don't like. So since I don't vote for him, y'all shouldn't either.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. See, I see. And that's what I faced as when I was running. I'm like, you know, I was the only conservative. The other ones had, you know, issues and had red flags that were, like, I mean, real red flags, you know, that would have been detrimental to people. Well, you know, I'm going to expose them because I've been exposing them. And Kerry's seen it. Jim O'Hare, man, red flags, the way he treats people, throwing elderly people out of a courtroom because he didn't like what they said, even though it was in the guidelines of the Open Meetings Act, he still threw them out because he didn't like them telling the truth. What do you think it's going to look like? I mean, the last election administrator, Nathan Neblett, he did the same thing to him. He barraged him. He berated him. You know, he called him insubordinate, even though he was doing the ethical thing. And out of Tim's mouth, you know what he said? Is it ethical or is it illegal? Or unethical is illegal? It don't matter, dude. It's both of the same one. So why would you say that on video, bro? I mean, everything I'm telling you, you can fact check. You can. I mean, I got the videos out there.
Wow.
So, I mean, so here's the Republican Party. Here, let's put this dude in here because he's a winnable candidate. Well, if you get behind one candidate, guess what you have? A winnable candidate. See, that kind of mindset is why we're in the shape that we are, at least one side or the other.
Well, Ben Carson said this when he was running for president. He said, they said, why would you stick with a party or why would you get behind a guy that berated you so bad on stage? And he said, you know why? Because I was told that if I stay loyal to the party, they'll find a place for me.
Wow.
Yes, amen.
That's a jewel right there. Now, that explains a whole bunch. Okay, that part right there, I get it. Now that makes a lot of sense why certain people are moving the way they're moving.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Hey, long as I stay loyal, I'm going to get something out of the deal. Might not be what I want, but it's going to be something I can work with.
Dang, that is major. I don't even know if y'all heard what he said, but that is major. Thank you, Trevor, for chiming back in on that topic. Listen, y'all, we got to move on. If you have a question or a comment, again, we're talking about hot topics right here on Let's Talk Fort Worth. The call-in number is 515-605-9321, then press 1. Okay, y'all, we got a Fort Worth PD officer who was fired for firing his gun in Hot Springs, Arkansas. If y'all never been to Hot Springs, not been there before, it's a resort kind of town. People are laid back. They just want massages. They just want to feel good. I'm just sorry.
Yeah, 9,000
nights. Just right. Everybody was like so laid back in Hot Springs. And so why did this Fort Worth PD officer go down there off duty and intoxicated and fire his gun? What?
Because he was drunk. That's why he did it. Because he was drunk.
That's right.
You know, they talk about Fort Worth is Cowtown, and I guess since he's from Cowtown, I'm going to do like they did in Old West. I'm going to go through it down here, and I'm just going to bust off a couple of rounds and just be, it just, oh, chill.
Right. I mean, and that's crazy, though, because I just thought, like, I don't know, officer, that is so not the behavior that's becoming of an officer. So I'm just trying to figure out, like, what was he doing down there? What was the circumstances surrounding it? But obviously the circumstances were not favorable for him or he would not have been fired. But I just think, like, there's a lot going on with Fort Worth PD, and I understand that there have been 3 officers fired this year already. And, y'all, we just in the 3rd month of the year. And so that's very interesting. For our police department, just FYI, a lot going on with that.
What is it? What's that old saying? Attitude reflects leadership.
That's true. And you know what? This is just me. And I'm going to say this real quick. Whenever you see a real problem in any type of body, it's a problem at the head. We can look at it any way we want. Whenever you see that something just keeps going awry at the bottom, the leadership is not stepping to the situation and addressing it properly. Because when the leadership addresses an issue properly, the bottom won't be out of control. I don't know what Noakes is doing. And I'm not putting a total blame on him because I think he inherited a mess. But at the same time, there's a lot going on with that department that the head is going to have to do more than just come out in the community and do photo ops. We appreciate you, Chief, for doing that. But at the same time, we need some type of something to happen. Something's got to shift with this department because it's too much going on with these officers, and it's got to be that the head is not getting the respect. And why is the – because I'll be honest with you. Go ahead.
I said you ask yourself the question, are the officers loyal to the badge or are they loyal to the POA? Because I think that's where the division is. If he's trying to implement things or get things done, then you know the POA is a separate entity. They had their little closed door meetings. They basically say they represent officers. It's easy to convince officers we have your best interest in heart. But the police department in itself is divided. Again, you got a POA, the Police Officer Association, but we know, I'm pretty sure the majority of that officer association is probably white males. And then you got the black.
Well, you got a white and a black one.
Then you got the Black Police Officer Association, then you got the Hispanic. So the department in itself is divided. It's divided.
Yep.
And then the chief has his hands tied because I'm sure it's decisions he wants to make or wants to make. But how you're still dealing with that head of that POA, Manny Ramirez. Manny Ramirez is power. He's power strong. Whatever word I'm looking for.
He's power hungry.
That dude is doped up on power. That dude is doped up on power. So the POA. Are the officers more loyal to the POA or are they loyal to the badge or trying to do the right job for the community? You know what I'm saying?
Well, look at Fitzgerald. You know, look at the drama he went through. And where did the crux of his problem wind up getting him fired? Somewhere at a POA meeting.
Oh, yep.
Had nothing to do with the city of Fort Worth politics. Had nothing to do with it. And they bring it all the way back here. But at the same time, he, you know, got to hold him accountable too, because if you knew all this dirt was going on, why did you wait till you got put in a compromising situation to say something about it?
Hey, you don't always, hey. But you know what? Mm-hmm. That's the thing. You don't always show your hand. You know, if it's going, you know what I'm saying? Because he was in the middle of it. You know, and I'm sure he caught some knowledge of some stuff. And not only that, just think about not only Mr. Fitzgerald, think about how I still go back to Betsy Price and David Crook. I still go back to them too. I still go back to them too because I'm sure there was some kind of off the record discussion they was having regarding Chief Fitzgerald. David Cook, Betsy Price, and probably Manny Ramirez. Who's that other one?
Jay Chopper, Cook's second in command at the time.
Yeah, they were just too easy to want to get rid of Fisher. But I'm glad Mr. Fisher was a smart enough brother to okay, y'all think y'all got me, but I got y'all.
I look at the background of a person. Period. Before you got here, what did you do? You know, I understand, you know, hey, Fitzgerald's a black man, and we already knew, like you said, the police department has always been segregated. Mm-hmm. You know, I know about 45 people that have been police officers that after 5 years were no longer in that field.
Whoa.
Because it's like this. I said it before. They're not trying to transform. They were trying to conform.
Whoa.
Because we got a way of doing things, and if you want to come in and you want to try to stir the pot and all that, say, you might come up missing. But see, I'm like, again, you got to be where you from. I take that as a threat.
Hey, check this out.
And if you threaten me, I'm going to do what y'all said. You got to put the threat down.
I'm gonna leave it right here. Check this out, you all. Look over in Dallas. Now you notice why they got the same issue. They got a POA.
Mm-hmm.
They knows how to use the media. They know how to use their influence to keep things divided within their department. why hasn't anyone else stepped up? It's only been people, it's only been black people who stepped up to try to be police chief. Why hasn't anybody else stepped up to try to be police chief over there over these last years? What they do to the sister? The sister came in with reform. The sister came in with reform. The sister, when she came in, she came in with reform. What they do with her? Okay.
We got a crime problem.
They had to find something. You know what the sister did? Sister, hey, baby, hey, this ain't my last. Y'all ain't the first, y'all ain't the last. Sister wasn't fazed by none of that. Sister, hey, every press conference, sister kept herself together. She kept her composure. Sister wasn't fazed by none of that. She wasn't fazed by it, but it just shows that POA is the problem. That Police Officers Association is the problem. And I'm not blaming all those officers. Of course, you know, we need unions. We need those to support. We need the support of a union. That leadership, though, that old power-strong Manny Ramirez, that clown, that dude right there is bad for former PD.
I find it odd that they don't drug test police officers.
And mental checks either.
Yeah, because you think a lot of those guys, man, they so hopped up on them steroids.
Yeah.
You know, and then when it is time for them to give their deposition or whatever, why do they get 3 days? Yeah. Aren't they supposed to be held to a higher standard than the average person? Because if I'm a boxer and I fight somebody and they die, I'm held to a higher standard. Because why? I was trained a certain way. So you mean to tell me an officer who is supposed to be, quote unquote, highly trained in certain things, that if they do something and it causes the death of somebody, that they're not held to a high standard?
Absolutely. And an excellent segue. Because, y'all, you know, we invited your Office of Police Oversight Monitor, Kim O'Neill, to come on the show this week. Let me tell y'all, because we're going to talk about the Brady List in just a second. But let me tell you, we got this office in place that's supposed to be addressing a whole bunch of these issues that we got. Now, Kim Neal became the first independent police oversight monitor and director in March of 2020. So that means she's got a full 2 years on the job. Kim Neal has more than two decades of experience addressing misconduct, overseeing investigations, compliance training, researching, and implementing best practices and ensuring compliance at the federal, state, and local levels of government to restore and maintain communities' trust. I'm just going to say that's her job. And she's got a full 2 years right here in Fort Worth to do that. That said, why do we have what they call a Brady's List? And for anybody who is not familiar with what a Brady's List is, a Brady List is a list of compiled usually by the prosecutor's office or police department, containing names and details of law enforcement officers who have had sustained incidents of untruthfulness, criminal convictions, candor issues, or some other type of issue placing their credibility in question. So we got a list. It's called the Brady List. It's 37 pages long with four work police officers and most of them with multiple offenses on this list. Now, I'm not going to call names tonight, y'all, but we're going to call out some of these offenses. And I'm just going to call some, and I'll let Wayman and Adrian call out some as well. But the things that stuck out to me were assault by conduct, prisoner improper search, intoxication on duty, false report and record, sexual harassment, assault by bodily injury, illegal arrest, theft, official oppression. Those are police officers that are charged, Fort Worth police officers that are charged with some of these offenses. Did y'all find that strange or was it just me?
Say, those are bodyguards for the mob. I'm telling you something for real. Everything you just named, that is a bodyguard for the mob.
Wow.
So
you know what they say? Hey, man, we every now and then we got to have somebody to break a couple of heads, you know, to get to get the point across. But wow. See what done happened? People don't start flipping the script on them because a lot of these police officers ain't making it home as they thought they would.
Oh.
Now the ones that now when that starts to become a problem, I get again. It's been said before. If every black household registers to put a firearm in their home, I guarantee you they're going to start having different gun reform. You're going to find a whole bunch of these police officers with a whole bunch of act right. You ain't going to have a whole bunch of them running up to your house talking about we could come in because we have suspicions. A lot of that nonsense going to stop.
Wow.
Because they, again, it's an intimidation factor.
Wow.
If I got you afraid of me, now, I heard this when I was a little boy. A hungry dog will fight. He don't care the size or who it is he got to fight. But if we talking about self-preservation and me taking care of mine and you going to have to give up yours, you ain't going to make it.
Wow.
Now, when the people start getting that mindset right there, thinking that uniform they got on and that badge and that gun means something, I done seen some go down with it still on their hip and their eyes closed.
Ooh. Wait a minute.
Everybody ain't scared of the police.
Wow.
Hey, Carrie, as you look and thinking about this list, you know, this list, it seems to be repeat offenders.
Yeah.
It's repeat offenders, and it goes back to what I was saying about the POA. If a lot of this is conduct detrimental to the officers, my question is how many of these officers are still within the ranks? You know, how many of these officers still within the ranks?
I heard a lot of them got promoted.
Come on.
So that's what I'm saying. So when you look at this, you see this, these people's names, it's just, some of these people got just, their name just steady popping up. I'm going through it right now.
Now watch this. How many of them have actually transferred counties or states?
That's true too. That's true. Came here with problems.
So, exactly. Yeah. You know, there's no rule, and you know they're talking about, well, we don't want to put no kind of legislation on there. There should be. You know. Ain't it written in the books that if you rob a bank, you can no longer ever work in a bank anywhere?
That's true.
You know.
Why do we have it? If you call the police about something, they immediately, or if the police are called on you for something, let's just say, they immediately pull up your criminal record and they know everything about you. However, you may be standing in front of an outright fool who has done some of the stuff on these lists. And we don't even know that the person we're talking to ain't even right in the head. You know what I'm saying? Because
exactly.
Some of these offenses, nobody with a badge and a gun should still have a badge and a gun, and they have been accused of some of these things.
Or they should be restricted to death duty. They shouldn't be on the streets. You know, they shouldn't be on the streets if they are acting in such a manner that they are. You know. Because again, it goes back to what oath did you swear oath to? Mm-hmm. And I pulled up the police's what you call it that they go by, the police
code of conduct.
Oh man, I'm gonna need a lot of paper to print that out if I want to try to go through that to figure out because I'm sure a lot of them are not remembering the code of conduct or the policies in which they're supposed to operate by. You know. I think we as citizens, we give police the benefit of the doubt when we were dealing with them, that they know the law. But I'm going to tell people, truthfully, a lot of police don't know the law. But because of the badge, you know, because of the position they're in, it's easy for them to say certain things. They know how to play. They have a good play on words. So people are less likely to go against because they have a good play on words. You know what I'm saying?
But
so,
remember what I said a while ago. Technology has finally caught up to history. So you can pull up your phone. Tell me what penal code that is, because I don't believe you, officer.
Yep.
And if we can pull up this penal code and you can tell me that that's where I'm breaking the law, hey, by all means, I'm going to comply.
That's true.
But when you just pulling things out your ass and just telling me, well, because I said so, all right, now I got to treat you like somebody I don't know and can't stand, regardless of your badge. Because you're telling me.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Go ahead. Well, they said, when they do that, you're telling me that you're willing to risk my life to prove your point.
But see,
and that's how
we
wind up with a lot of these officers killing people.
But what is the point of the what is it, the Office of what is it, Oversight, what is it, Office of Police Oversight Monitor? Aren't they supposed to be in place to make sure officers are not getting away with this kind of stuff? And by the way, if you don't know, the Brady list is not made public. This is not a document that you can just pull up online. It's very well hidden,
mm-hmm.
and you have to have sources to get them. So that's
mm-hmm.
it. You know, what is this office doing to prevent us from having officers on the force that are doing these types of things?
That was Adrian said the word earlier. That was a climate control position created to keep the people off their ass.
Oh, wow.
That's all it was. I knew it when I knew what they were going to do when they first came up with it.
Wow.
This is 2022.
Mm-hmm.
We still dealing with shit from 1963.
Yep. That's right.
And it ain't
That's
changed.
Right.
So to come up with all these other names and we're going to put together this focus group and we're going to study this and that, when you want to talk about defunding something, okay, there used to be programs in the black community that when you could go to, say, like the Bethlehem Center, and in there they would teach us not only ethics,
mm-hmm.
but they would also start teaching us laws. And they would
mm-hmm.
start teaching us penal codes because we were in a black community and we know the police would harass us on a regular basis. Now, this
mm-hmm.
is down here in the South in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
So when we start learning laws, guess what? When our schools started being integrated,
mm-hmm.
all the things that we were being taught outside of school, that had
mm-hmm.
to do with us as a public citizen. Those things were, well, here go the buzzword. Those things were defunded, and then control, particular community, was handed over to the police to make sure
mm-hmm.
they had control of what they want.
Mm-hmm.
But when you start talking about implementing things to where we can start governing ourselves for the best thing for our communities that we live in and see every day, because I don't know nobody that said, man, I like living next to the dope, man.
Right.
I like living next to where they have all that random shooting going on. We don't want
mm-hmm.
that either.
No.
So why would you defund us and take away the things that we were trying to do to have self-preservation,
mm.
but you want to put it in your control and you're more of the problem now than the people were back then?
See,
hey,
you know
what?
Go ahead. Ed.
The crime element is just like any other element in society. It's a big business. You got to keep people.
Exactly.
People job. Hey, without crime, people don't have, you know, there don't even be no jobs, you know. So they got to, and they know how to keep a certain dynamic up to keep people, you know, in a disarray. You know, just don't put no money in that community. We know that they suffering over there. Eventually, they'll get tired. When, you know, it's just.
But it's bleeding out of it. But now, those problems are bleeding out of the impoverished communities. And it's starting
yeah.
now. They like, man, nobody over here got nothing. Let me go over here to where they got some money. And
see
now, those people have kids. Their kids are even the ones that are starting to commit some of these atrocities.
True.
But see, we gotta understand, like Adrian just said, crime is big business. Without crime, you don't need jails, you don't need private prisons, you don't need judges,
yep.
you don't need police, you don't need court systems, certain court systems. And so you gotta realize, crime employs a whole bunch of people. That part.
Yes, it does.
Pays big salaries in some cases. And so yeah. Another thing that I found odd, and that wasn't all the crimes, y'all, but the ones that stuck out to me, these were another four that kind of rub me the wrong way.
Mm-hmm.
We got sexual conduct on duty. We're talking about, yeah, accept favors or solicit favor or bribe. These are talking about officers taking bribes? Wow.
That's old.
But you're right.
Hey, remember
what did I say?
What did I say a while ago? These are bodyguards for the mob. So everything that they're doing has been something that they have been doing since the police force was first instituted. You know, you run up on something. Hey, look here. Well, you do something strange for some change, and I'm gonna let you walk, or you do this for me. And then, but see, they, and then they got their code words for it. They call them a CI.
Confidential informant.
See, there you go. All we got to do is read the blueprint. You know,
and how much
you're tricking on duty, but at the same time. When they get ready to turn state's evidence against you, well, no, that was a CI and they just went rogue.
Yeah.
How much bad character or bad behavior do they overlook when they're recruiting people just to fill the ranks? Just to make a quota, just to fill the ranks. You know what I'm saying? How much bad behavior are they overlook? Oh, you got this in your background? Well, that's something we probably could. I'm sure you're trying to make a mince for your back. Okay, we'll give you opportunity. We'll give you a shot.
But it depends on what team you're fighting for. Are you being a bad cop on your own, or are you being a bad cop and you part of the POA?
No, I'm talking about as a recruit. I'm talking about as a recruit. You know, when you're coming in, how much of a person's character, or you know, because they do a background check. They do a thorough background check. I think they go all the way to your childhood and all of that. They do I think they even do a polygraph, if I'm not mistaken.
But are they
so
really
much
following? They're supposed to do a psychological too, but I can't tell.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. How much of it are they overlooking just to fill a quota, just to fill the ranks, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And let me be clear.
Because police officers, that's their budget as well. The more officers we get, the more money that comes into. You know what I'm saying? Coming soon. The less office, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. Let me clarify something. Wayman just said when he talked about a confidential informant. You want to know what? You know how to spot a confidential informant that ain't nobody identified yet? Watch the Joker who's moving in the neighborhood and doing everything wrong, but don't never go to jail. He may be selling more dope. And more hot stuff, and moving around and doing every type of criminal thing, stolen cars, stolen everything. But he don't never go to jail. That's the Joker
in the middle.
Who's the confidential informant. All his friends
and in the middle and know everything.
That's it. Watch it. If you didn't know, now you know. And to be honest with you, they will let a confidential informant tear up a neighborhood. That person can do all kinds of, he'll sell more dope on the street, and the police act like they never saw it. Pay attention.
Hey, that's how they got. Again, that's part of the blueprint. Look at here. I'm gonna give you this set, and you go over there, and you can have this particular street. The Wire was the best thing they ever put out, and you know you see Hollywood had to shut that Joker down.
Sure. Charleston White just went to the city council meeting, this last city council meeting, and told them, y'all let us sell marijuana at the Classy Lady as long as we didn't sell no hard drugs. That's what he said about the Portland Police Department. Charleston White said that at the city council meeting. Now, what does that mean? I'm just trying to tell you. And I just found that
see,
strange. But he said that.
Well, and guess what? He said it on record.
Yeah, he did it. Maybe.
Oh, so now, federal indictment. He said it on record.
Oh, he sure did.
Gary.
Yeah.
Gary, you stated back to this list. I'm on page 16. I see that same officer. He had sexual conduct on duty, and then he had a sexual assault against him.
Same.
The same officer. So
he probably raped somebody on duty.
Sexual conduct on duty. So that's probably something he got caught up doing. That he wasn't. Then he had an actual sexual assault. You know.
Mm.
Wow.
That's just crazy. It's
y'all. And then did y'all see how many accidents they have in them vehicles? And y'all,
oh my goodness.
I'm somebody who's always thinking when you see the police, get out of their way. Because if they ever hit you, it's your ticket. It don't matter if they hit you and they in the wrong, it's on you. And so I still see how many accidents was on those sheets. And I was thinking to myself, all those poor people were probably blamed for it. They got the ticket and the officer was probably to blame. But they never told the people that the officer was to blame, but they put it on this record. You see how that goes?
I heard this on the Bible. A police officer, my son was having a birthday party. We were coming out of the little old balloon party place they got right there. Used to be across the street from the old Stripling Cox. And I was finna pull out, and I was in the driveway, stopped. A police officer was going, had to be going about 60 miles an hour. He wasn't chasing nobody. And he nearly swerved and hit me, and I didn't have my nose out. I mean, I'm like five steps from getting to the edge of the driveway to meet the street. He weaved in that close, nearly hitting my car. On down there, it was a gas station where that McDonald's is. It was a gas station across the street. That same police car hit a man that was in the driveway of the gas station, turned his junk truck over.
Ooh.
And when we pulled up on the scene, I pulled over, and you see this guy over there? I mean, his eyes is all white. They was glassy. They dancing around. You know, he had this little pinkness under the rim of his eyes. And I said, man, that's a fast dude that almost hit me a while ago. One of his buddies talking about, did you see this accident? I said, no, I was just up the street, and he almost hit me. He had to be going about 60, 70 miles an hour. He said, how do you know how fast he's going? I said, because I'm certified in units, weights, and measures. That's how I know. So I can track velocity based on the speed he was going and how he impacted and hit the weight and knocked his truck over.
Wow.
You know they went and found a prostitute to say that black man was in the wrong and turning in front of the police officer?
See how they do? Yep.
Well, these jokers ain't no good.
Carrie and Wayman and to all the listeners, I'm going to say this to you all. All of your accidents are paid and sponsored by your CCPD funding. They're paid and are sponsored by look at all your vehicles. They let you know CCPD funding. So these accidents, it's nothing. It's somewhere. Taxpayers are paying. We're paying for these cars. It's nothing.
But it's the officer that's committing the atrocity that's the one not being held accountable.
Yeah.
That's true. Yes.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Weren't some of those accidents, though, $3,000
to $5,000? Yeah.
They had some with amounts. Some of them just a lot of states just say accident, but then you got some with damages. Like, damages. Mm-hmm. From $5,000 on up to $1,000 to $3,000. I got an accident for $10,000.
Mm-hmm.
So they just.
We pay.
That's somebody's new ride.
That's what I'm saying. Y'all, it's a lot wrong with this Brady list. I suggest if you know somebody that can get you a copy, I suggest you ask them, because I think it's very eye-opening to know that a lot of these people on this list went on to get promoted after they did some of these things. And to me, the police department know that they did these things, and that's why they're on this list. But at the same time, these people are still either with the police department or have been promoted. So it almost seems like it's a badge of honor to get in trouble, and then you get promoted, like you're part of the bad boy club.
Carrie, on your list of topics, Carrie, I know we're coming down to the wire. You got one more topic on your list that I just checked out. You spoke in regarding to the electric car. I think that was on your list of topics.
I don't know if I'm going to get to that one tonight, because I'm going to tell you what. In light of everything we talked about with the police department, did you know that they recently got their accreditation again?
You said that, yeah.
Yeah, Yeah, so this is basically the Fort Worth Police Department has been designated an accredited law enforcement agency by the Texas Police Chiefs Association Law Enforcement Accreditation Program. Basically, Fort Worth is the largest police department in Texas to gain accreditation. Started in 2016, the accreditation program evaluates the police department's compliance in more than 170 best practices areas. So we know what we got. Yeah, we know what we got, but they're saying that these best practices were developed to assist agencies in the efficient and effective delivery of service and protection, protecting, excuse me, individuals' rights. Now, y'all, we know that ain't the case. So how
because
did
they protecting each other. That's what they're doing.
And so I'm just amazed. You go through this every 4 years. They said they also got it in 2018. But I think I found out that I figured out how they got it. It says to participate in the process, 4PD is required to conduct a critical self-review of the agency's policies, procedures, facilities, and that part.
So no independent review. They do a self in-house review of themselves. They do their own review.
After they do that, I guess, and figure out all the criteria that's needed to jump through the hoop, then they bring in a group of other trained police police chiefs from other areas of Texas. So, you know, everybody, one hand washes the other. I help you get your accreditation.
Help me get mine.
Hey, because accreditation, it keeps you favorable in the federal government's eye for, you know, funding purposes.
It's grant money, probably getting all types of grant money.
Yes, yes. It keeps you favorable in it keeps you looking favorable in the federal government's eye, you know.
How
did the mob get broke up? Because they start going in as a corporation.
Oh, wow.
That's how you got hit up for racketeering.
Oh, wow.
I mean, we're finding the same practices. That's all they're doing. Again, when you look at the blueprint, man, it's easy to read. They're finding the same practices that the mob do.
And I bet the CCPD money helped them to do a whole lot of wrong. I'm just going to say it.
Carrie, I'm going to say this. Can't nobody tell me. People always want to argue me down every time I make the point on a post about the CCPD funding being used for purposes other than, why am I always getting a rebuttal from the POA? No, we don't. We use our own money to, we don't use CCP funding to do anything, but for whatever they're doing it for, miss me with that. It's too much money. Come on, man. Police officers are not giving like that, bro. They're not giving like that.
Look at it like this. Remember when they were finding all them ships that was coming in, and it was people in the GOP, and it was state senators, and some people was tied to the VPs, and I'm talking about vice presidents of the United States. And when you start tracking down these ships coming in with tons of heroin, tons of cocaine, we'll hear about it for 2 or 3 days, and you hear about it no more. But you hear about an influx of people dying from certain drugs on the street, and they all ain't opioids.
Wow.
So how did we get from the dock to the block? And don't nobody know nothing?
A police escort?
Come on.
That part, I'm just saying, y'all, a police escort. It is what it is.
Most definitely.
Yeah.
There's too much crime going on in this city. Again, Fort Worth ain't that big. So there's too much going on, and the police not having a handle on it.
And we got these cameras everywhere. Somebody told me today, FYI, they can see you in real time. Somebody told me today that they put trash out. Like bulk trash, because it's that time in their neighborhood, they put the bulk trash out. And then they went to Google Maps to look up somebody else's address and just decided to put in their own to see what their house looked like on Google Maps. Anyway, some kind of way they downloaded Google Earth, and they saw their own house in real time, the trash that they had just put on the curb. So that said, if they want to watch you, they can watch you, and
they
know
watch
what's
you.
Going on. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying.
You
Fly
said it, I didn't.
Everywhere.
But
and
we
what?
Don't. But we need y'all to speak up. We need y'all to say something. We can't prosecute unless y'all say something.
That's true. That is so true. Tell us what's going on. If you want to stop crying, tell us what's going on. But none of them snitch on each other, but they want you to be the snitch, and then they'll go around and tell the drug dealer that you the one told them that you're selling drugs. Get killed.
Exactly.
I know a situation, y'all, that happened in Stop 6, and this is a true story. Years ago, a person had a very nice house on a bad street. And because they had invested so much money in this particular house, they had pride in their neighborhood. And there was a drug dealer on the street, and they called for OCD, and they said, listen, there's a situation going on. Y'all really need to stop that drug dealer because he's selling a lot of drugs on the street, blah, blah, blah. If I tell you, the police officer came out there, talked to the drug dealer, and told him, you need to stop selling drugs because your neighbor down the street told me y'all selling drugs. And when the police left, the drug dealer went down the street and told the man, I know you called the police on me because the police told me you called. You know, so, and that's
who paying who? Who paying who? Come on now. I told you them jokers ain't nothing but the mob.
Could have got the man killed. The man was scared to death. I mean, he couldn't believe that the police had told the drug dealer that he was the one who had called them. So you just wonder if the drug dealer had the police in his back pocket. I'm just saying. Wow. Y'all, it's just the truth. You know, we just got to face what we're dealing with, and then we'll know how to handle it. I think, to me, nothing beats a good understanding. And I think today, our police department has some problems. You know, it really – and like I said, we invited Kim Neal this week. Come on. She went on Bob Willoughby's show last Sunday night. We'd love to see you, Kim. Come out and talk to us. We got a lot of questions about this Brady list and how y'all handling it and what kind of policies – have you all suggested, and have they been implemented? You've been on the job 2 years. What can we expect next? You know, is anybody getting fired? Is anybody getting reprimanded? Where are we at? That's what I want to know. I mean, it's nice enough to come on. Do y'all agree we need to know what to expect from that particular department?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Hey, just like when you had the independent auditor come and – she found all these discrepancies, you know.
Uh-huh.
People have to start accounting for these things now.
Yeah.
Because you're talking about money that's coming out of my pocket, out of your pocket, out of his pocket, you know. Mm-hmm. And we deserve better service than what we're getting.
That's true. We're paying a lot for that service, too.
Yes, we are.
We're paying a lot for that service. And we ain't getting much for it.
You know, again, you know, it was wild. Somebody broke into my neighbor's house before, and his son was there by himself. He came across the street, got me. The police told my neighbor's son, he was 16 at the time, they told him it would be anywhere from 45 minutes to an hour before they could get somebody over there because at that time, traffic was heavy.
Oh, wow.
So I called 911, talked to the operator, let them know, hey, I'm across the street. This is my address. This is the address you just had a call from. Yes, sir. Well, the owner has given me proxy.
Uh-oh.
I'm armed and I'm going to his property. Holy. If anybody in his house that don't belong there, we're going to have problems. Well, Mr. Brown, don't say that because you're being recorded. Why do you think I'm giving you in-depth detail about my movements?
Wow.
I told you I was given proxy. I told you I'm armed. I told you if there's somebody that's in there that don't belong there, we're going to have problems. Police within 5 minutes.
See? They love that kind of stuff. They love that. Some action. Yeah. You were telling
me. Hey, bam, they're going to show up. Right. Well, wait a minute. But you tell him it's going to be 15 minutes? I mean, 45 minutes to an hour?
Police, listen. Police officers, they sit on calls.
They got the calls,
if I'm not mistaken, categorized as priorities. They got them in categories. And trust me, that's why I hate to see people in accidents, little small fender benders. Y'all are wasting y'all time sitting here waiting to try to get a police report.
They don't even tell you to call the police no more.
Yeah. Officer told me years ago, if ain't nobody injured, y'all exchange information and go on. Y'all trying to get a police report to convince your insurance that it was an accident. You don't got to do all that. Listen here, they sit on these calls. You hear a burglar, you hear a alarm go off. They getting a call over there. If that's the area I'm supposed to be working in, I'm hearing that call go out over my radio or whatever, when I'm just sitting in my car just twiddling my thumbs or pulled up on the side of my buddy with my window down, we just talking. And y'all heard them calls going over. Y'all just waiting to see who's going to answer it. But like you say, Kerry, they love the Wild Wild West calls. Oh, you get the whole department to come out where they feel like somebody got a gun or it's a shooting or something. You get the whole police department out.
Because that gives them an excuse now to say, well, we didn't know who this person was. Hmm. And we misunderstood them to be the assailant.
Hmm. Something going on, y'all. I don't know what's happening, but something happened, y'all. It ain't right. It ain't right. If you think about the last 4th of July over there in Como, they said that several people were shot. But a certain blogger said that they were there on the scene, and they didn't see nobody get shot. So I'm still trying to figure out what's the real story.
And
we didn't
hear no more about that story. You notice that?
Somebody was there to give an actual account to what happened, and they couldn't spin doctor their way out of saying, well, this is why we need to shut that celebration down in Como.
Hmm.
Because they had tried it a couple of years before, and Malik and another brother that was with the Brotherhood at that time, they were there, and they had to stand between the police and them people.
Wow.
Because the police was just itching to get out there on them. He'll tell you the story, and I'm like, and the next year it was the same thing. You know, every year these people have a celebration commemorating where they live and their history and heritage in this community.
Mm-hmm.
Why you got to have 40 officers there?
Mm-hmm.
Just itching. And some of them so green.
Oh, that's
green,
true. I think, in my opinion, the community really, they all live there. It's only one block long. I can't see why they can't determine how they can police their own community rather than bringing the police and let them over militarize, that particular event. I just don't understand. It looks like Beirut. It looks like Beirut when you see the police out there the night before the event. You know, I don't know. It's just strange. If you haven't checked it out this year, but it's a strange situation the night before the event. Y'all, we got to get out of here. Listen. Thank you for hanging out with us tonight as we talked about hot topics. Tell a friend, tell a neighbor about the show. Also, follow us on our Facebook page. We have a Let's Talk Network Facebook page. Also, advertise with us. If you have a business, an event, if you're running a campaign, think about advertising with us. And also, if you like what we do here on Let's Talk Network, you can donate to the cause as well. That's how we bring even better content to you. We have a PayPal account, and that's paypal.me/Let's Talk Network. And, y'all, listen, Wayman came and hung out with us tonight, but he's been ill for a while. We want to ask all of y'all to keep Wayman in your prayers because we'd like him to come back another time and another time and another time. Y'all keep Wayman in your prayers. We want y'all to keep him. No, I mean that from the bottom of my heart. Y'all,
I appreciate it.
No problem. Until next week, y'all, same bad time. Same bad channel. Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Good night.
Good night.